welcome back to another week of Revirginized, which is the unofficial fan podcast for Maxes and Just Like That. As you guys know, my name is Candace, and I do weekly recaps here on Revirginized, and I am extremely excited to get into this episode titled February 14. All right, so let's kick this off. I do have to say this is one of my favorite episodes. Actually, let me just scratch that. Not one of my favorite episodes. This is my favorite episode. And one of the reasons is because this really reminds me of old school Sex in the City. Now, you guys have all heard me say this before, but I feel like the writers did a wonderful job at bringing us back to the old show, adding elements, humor, and wit, and all of these things that the old show had that was clearly lacking in this new show, even though it is supposed to be a spinoff. But, you know, you can't have And Just Like That with these characters without tying it into the true Sex of the City. So this is my favorite episode for so many reasons. The obvious being extremely important, which is Aiden. But before I even get into that, and I'm going to go very much into that, I do want to say that, you know, if you guys missed this episode, you should definitely watch it. It really brings back a lot of nostalgia. And let's kick it right off. Everyone is scrambling for Valentine's Day. What the hell is happening here? Absolutely everyone. And I'm going to start off with Miranda. So one of the things I love about Miranda is in this episode, in the opening scene, by the way, when they're all having, I think, brunch, she says basically, you know, she doesn't have a date. And Charlotte mentions like, oh, a new girl on the horizon. And she's like, well, how do you know that it's a girl? I love this because I remember years ago reading an article that Cynthia Nixon herself came out for. And she said, you know, it's not about being gay, straight, this or that. And I am paraphrasing. But she said one day she just woke up and she just so happened to fall in love with a woman. This is her speaking about her personal life. And I remember saying, yes. Right? Like, that's also totally true, right? Sometimes you just can't even define what you are. You just are what you are, right? It doesn't necessarily fit in one category. So I did like when she said, you know, she doesn't even know what she is basically right now. Charlotte in pure Charlotte fashion, well, can you figure it out so you can find love? Charlotte, if only it was that easy. But needless to say, Miranda does go in this episode trying to figure out, you know, what she lands or feels more for. She's on these dating websites. She's trying to, like, get her life together. And she's still living with Dr. Naya Wallace, who is also happily going through her divorce. Like, she's handling it very well. And Miranda and her are at a bookstore, which is called Books Are Magic. Funny story about that later. And Miranda stumbles upon like this very hot woman. I mean, super hot. Her name is Amelia. And she's doing a reading at the bookstore. And needless to say, sparks are flying. And they decide to go on a date for Valentine's Day. Yes. Also, I do have to say Miranda is super hot in this purple outfit. I have all the details at the end of the segment about what she was wearing, how much, and who's it by. But she was rocking that outfit super hot, and too bad her date was not. So that was a shit show. It just completely blew up in her face. But, you know, I do have to say that I'm loving that, you know, they're giving her some pause time, because Miranda did just get out of a relationship with Shay. I don't think she needs to necessarily be throwing herself back in there. But Carrie mentioned something to Shay that I thought was noteworthy. She basically told Shay that whenever Miranda is like not in a relationship anymore, she kind of like pushes herself away and, you know, she just goes into Miranda mode. And something that I found so interesting is that not only does she do that, but then she also tries to move on really quickly with people who's like, you know, not even who you would think she'd date. Like, if you go back into the original series, she actually always did this. And she was never really over that other person. She was just trying to move on quickly. And dare I say, and I hope I'm not jinxing it, I hope that doesn't mean she's going to come back to Shea, but whatever. That is where Miranda is at. I'm loving this for her. Listen, do you, boo-boo, take your time, date, don't, whatever. I'm here for all the mess and nonsense of dating in your 50s. So speaking of mess and nonsense of dating, let's get into LTW, who you guys know I love, Miss Lisa Todd Wexley. And she is actually very worried about dating, but it's not about her. Her and Herbert are extremely well. It is about her son. Guys, what is it with all the teenage sex in this show? Granted, I'm loving that I don't have to see it, right? Like, season one scarred me for life with Brady and Louisa. But, yeah, last week it was Lily losing her virginity, and this week it's all about Herbert Jr. and his girlfriend Baxter, who they are having sex. And, you know, LTW is trying to put some boundaries in place. I also have to say, Reddit, people on Reddit, like, you guys are delusional. So many of you guys are just so rude. They were like, we don't care about LTW's little 5 minutes on the show. It was so unrealistic, blah, 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 pause. Teenagers having sex and parents worrying about it, it is definitely not unrealistic, and I was here for it. And you know why I'm here for it, because like I always tell you, every time LTW makes an entrance, she makes a grand entrance. Like, her appearance is known, whether it's down to her outfits or her checking Herbert Jr., which she needed to do because he was out of pocket. Baxter, the girlfriend, completely out of pocket. Like, these two are about to be teen parents any second. But I do love how she texts her son. In this episode, she's trying to establish boundaries. And I love how strict she is, even though Herbert gave him, like, a break for Valentine's Day, right? Like, he was trying to go to a hotel with Baxter because her parents booked their room. And in my head, I'm like, what parents on earth book rooms for their teenage kids on Valentine's Day? But I digress. But, you know, they check him and they're like, absolutely not. And here goes Herbert. Yeah, of course not. You can just have her here and celebrate. And I'm like, wait, what? And of course, LTW is thinking the same thing. She's like, you just gave him an okay to have sex in our bed, in our home. I don't think that was smart. Anyways, so this episode was totally believable. I love seeing, you know, scenes like this, storylines like this, which do make it real, because again, you know, it's not exactly our old school Sex in the City so much, but this is what happened. You know, these ladies are in their 50s. They have new friendships. They're dealing with life. Back in the day, it was all about their sex life and navigating all of that shit show. And now they have kids, you know? So I don't think that it's anything out of the norm. People on Reddit are just out of pocket, but I love how LTW tries booby traps the bed. Too bad it wasn't the bed that she needed to worry about, because Baxter is completely out of line and she's in her closet. So you guys already know how that ended up. But in true LTW grace, she checks this girl and she leaves it at that. Like, she knows how to just get you without going overboard and doing the most. So I was totally here for that storyline. But you know whose storyline I was not here for? Please, when did Seema, excuse my French, turn into a mega bitch? I mean, entitlement on 1,000. All right, she has a very, very small scene in the episode, and she's taking Carrie, you know, on a relaxation day, like to a spa, to some massage. But is it me, guys, or was she completely out of line? Like, basically, there was a mix-up, and, you know, you can only get a couple's massage. And in my head, I agree with the girl at the receptionist desk. Pretend you're a couple. Seema, you went crazy left field, all because you and Carrie are not a couple. And, you know, it was just too much, you know, too much dialogue about, like, why is Valentine's thing, like, couples are celebrating every day. Like, yeah, you're right. But right now, you're doing the most, sweetheart. Like, Seema, we don't like this Seema. Like, we don't like entitled Seema. We know you have money. We know you're up there, girl. We know that your money talks. We know you're self-sufficient. We know you're a badass, but please don't be one of these entitled, prissy people. And writers, do not do that to my girl, Seema, please. because not the Yelp review. Like, she had me all the way dead with that. But I'm actually glad she had a small appearance because I couldn't take it. And speaking of small appearances, I do love Shay, sans Miranda. So Shay is, she also has a small scene. And I love when I see her on camera with Harry because it's likable Shay, right? Like, she's witty, she's cute, she's, you know, she's just, I don't know, the dialogue is different. And I feel really bad, as you guys may know, she is no longer in Hollywood, but, you know, she's back in New York City and she needs to sublet her apartment. At least that's what she's going to do. Not sublet, I'm sorry, Airbnb. And it just made me wonder, like, what happened to Shay's money? And I think somebody had DM'd me that, like, Candace, what happened to all of Shay's money? And I'm like, yo, word. Like, I know Hollywood didn't work out, but you were pretty self-sufficient. Like, I know the podcast is no longer, but I mean, it's just a sad storyline to see that, you know, she's just so without. And I'm not saying that, you know, you need to have money or whatever, but this was such a character who was self-sufficient and she had so much going for her. And I hate that the fact that Hollywood didn't work out with her all of a sudden means like she's like back to being broke or whatever the case may be. But she is going to Airbnb her apartment, and I really did like this storyline. I love how she rescued that little dog and she meets up with her friend when she used to work at the shelter, and you know, she tells her, I still have a job for you. And you know, I just love this side and this part of Chang. I heard Miranda still have not spoken, but I'm okay with that. I don't want them to ever speak. I think they just need to be cordial friends and leave it at that. Now, speaking of friends, Charlene definitely took one for the team. Charlene was amazing this episode as far as being a friend. Now, as far as being a momager, she was godright awful. Like, she is such a diva mom. It's one thing to have the Instagram. It's one thing to, like, be a momager and to manage your kids. And it's another to be extremely rude and show up to these modeling agencies and basically just demand to be seen. So in this episode, Charlene is navigating being a momager. And, you know, she's trying to get Rock into, like, all of these agencies and all of that. But she just really doesn't know how to have a chill pill. In true Charlene form, she needs to chill the fuck out, as Samantha would say. So Rock ends up just wanting to quit modeling because she's like, Mom, you are really gross. And to be honest, she really was. And I love how she answers, you know, I guess I'm just hypoglycemic. And in my head, I'm like, wow, this is a wonderful Charlene answer. In reality, you're just being a hypo bitch. But you know what? I digress. I mean, I'm glad Rock is not doing the modeling because Charlene, you was doing the most, honey. And momager aside, thank God that's canceled for now, we do see her trying to help Anthony, who I'm going to get into just in a few seconds, is, you know, in desperate need of these hot fellas. And Charlene stumbles upon this Italian poet who is really lovely, by the way. His name was Giuseppe. He was extremely cute. I am going to try to find an Instagram for you guys so you can see who he is, because he was extremely hot. And basically she takes one for the team and she's like, you know, I'll pay you $300 if you can basically be a hot fella for Anthony. And I'm like, yes, Charlene, you are pimp Charlene, you are maid Charlene, you are momager Charlene, you are Mrs. Clean Charlene, and you're also pimp Charlene, but in a good way. So she does find a hot fella for Anthony, which I loved, by the way. And in this episode, you know, Charlene was just being Charlene. And she ended up high because Lily, who's also kind of a brat, broke up with Blake, which is why you need to be very careful when you give your virginity to. But she did break up with Blake and she's having like a F boys party. And one of her friends brings brownies, hit brownies, which Charlene ends up eating, and she gets high. Now, I don't know if Charlene is the right person to be high because she's already on 1,000 sober. And sometimes you think people who are type A, OCD, whatever, they'll be great if they're high. Absolutely not. It was a no for her. Like, she went from hypoglycemic to a possible stroke. And it was extremely funny, by the way, but she is not the person who can ever be high. But that really sums up Charlotte, all the cuteness that she is. And I am going to speak a little bit about Anthony, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back, and let's get into Anthony. I am, like, extremely obsessed with Anthony, by the way, guys. Like, he truly is the character that we did not know we needed, but we do. And so I am loving everything about him. I've always loved how blunt he was. I've always loved how no-nonsense he was. He was basically, like, the gay version of Samantha. And we're here for that. Any Samantha that we can ever have, we're here for. And so he is having a crisis with hot fellas. I don't know why we're still doing this in 2023, but apparently all of these hot fellas use steroids, and Anthony is, like, firing them one by one because he had a big meeting with Drew Barrymore so he can be featured on her show, and he got it. And he needed a hot fella, but he's like, you know, I run a clean business, so get out. Little did he know, as he was kicking out the first steroid human, they were all on steroids. And so this is why Charlotte took one for the team and found him a hot fella. And so that actually worked out really, really, really well. He does snag the little cute Italian poet, and I do smell a relationship coming. Remember that I told you guys first, I smell a whole relationship. And I love that everything about him is all bread. Did you guys peep the bread foam that he had in the background? I mean, that was amazing. Whoever thought of sneaking that in there, yes. That was an absolute yes. So as you guys know, Anthony and Stanford are divorced. May he rest in peace, by the way. But Anthony and Stanford are divorced in the show. And so we never really talk about his divorce, or they were getting divorced. But we never really talk about how he's feeling. We never talk about, you know, anything Anthony related. We just see that he's always going on dates and flirting and trying to do this, that, and the third. So it'll be really nice to see him actually get a boyfriend this season and even settle down. Like, I'm actually here for that because he deserves more screen time. Now that we are all done with all the characters and all this mess of Valentine's Day. Oh, which I should also say, when Charlotte thought she was having a mini stroke, she was actually at a restaurant for Valentine's Day. Go figure. So that was that madness. And now let's get into the creme de la creme of the actual juicy part of today's segment. So Harry, I had to save her for last. Harry says yes to Aiden. Okay, so you know she sent him that long, actually no, the long-winded email was in the first series. She sent him a less of a long-winded email, to which he replied, as we see in the opening of the episode, into which she says yes. So Charlotte is Cupid on steroids. I'm quoting that directly from her in the beginning of the show. She is all for this Aiden reunion. And you want to know something? I love that Miranda is also all for this Aiden reunion right now, because he, for many reasons, is exactly who and what Carrie needs in her life. But anyway, they're getting ready for this hot date. And quick side note, is it me or was Carrie's hallway wall extremely big? I never remember that, but I say that because as I'm thinking of hot dates, I'm thinking of when Miranda told her, we both have hot dates at 56. Wow, 56. Aiden and Carrie together at 56. So that's just a little bit of my ADD that reminded me of that long ass wall that I never paid attention to before. And then she had, like, this portrait above it. And I'm like, is it me? Or, like, when did this happen? But anyway, so she's super nervous about it and loving it. Like, she's really feeling him. And I do have to say, I cried when I saw him. It brought me back to a bunch of nostalgia. I mean, I don't care what people out there in the world are thinking. I don't care what people on Reddit are thinking. And it's not everybody, it's just a few. But for everyone saying that, you know, Aiden doesn't stand a chance, or that, you know, Aiden is the rebound, or that they're not good together, slow your roll, okay? Because Aiden would have been with her still had he not broken up with her. He is always the one who got away, because I firmly believe her and Big would have never had this go around if they would have stood true together in the apartment, and if things would have worked out and he wouldn't have left her stranded. So I disagree. And I also disagree with MPK, who in the Writer's Room documentary or podcast was basically talking to someone else, and they were like, a year ago, Aiden would have never shown up. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? You cannot have Sex in the City or In Just Like That or any Carrie Bradshaw show where Aiden just doesn't resurface, especially while John Corbett is still alive and well, praise God. But you cannot do that. Like, that was the other love of her life. Oh, it just drives me crazy. So anyway, Aiden comes, and it was so beautiful. And I did cry. And I don't know if, you know, it was a combination of finally seeing him on screen after such a long time and seeing them together with that passionate hug, or if I was also crying because they had him in this god-awful Edward Scissorhands looking jacket. But I did cry. And, you know, this is a couple with intense chemistry, guys. Even that hug alone. So anyways, they end up eating, and, you know, she was actually at the wrong restaurant, which was beyond me, because she definitely said, side note, yeah, for Aiden. And they were like, yeah, come to the back. But needless to say, they both thought they set each other up, which was really, 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 really cute. And then they go back to her place, and Aiden basically breaks. Now, this is so important to me, because I feel like me, along with probably you guys, didn't even catch this, but he's like, Carrie, I can't go back into that apartment. And he's really choking up about this. And then I realized, like, I forget all the heartbreak that there was in that place. You know, the stink of Big, because she cheated in that bed with Big in that apartment, you know. And then the infamous breakup after they moved in together, Aiden trying to knock down the wall, you know, Aiden buying the apartment, and then them not working out. Like, I never looked at it from that perspective. It was like, wow, of course he couldn't do it. Of course. And I think somewhere, you know, somewhere on Reddit, somebody even said, like, I wouldn't be able to do it either. And I'm like, yes, finally, people are not bashing Aiden. You guys have the worst things to say about him. You know, he wanted Carrie to change, which I've already debunked in my after show. Completely not true. Like, this is a man who always accepted Carrie no matter what. Even when Aiden wanted to stand on his beliefs, like the smoking, he just always accepted her for who she was, because he always saw her for who he was. So, and it's evident in this episode, because he couldn't do it. And he says, man, I should have never came back here. Like, this is a lot for me. I should go. And poor Carrie, like, she really understood, as heartbroken as she was. And as Aiden turns to leave in true Aiden form, excuse my French, he says, fuck it. They have hotels. And then just like that, Aiden is back. So glad he didn't get hit by a bus or something while he was standing in the middle of the street when they zoomed out to show us him there. I'm like, wow, this is really eerie. If he gets hit by a bus, I'm quitting the show. But yes, Aiden is back, guys. And I really want to hear what you guys think. I've always thought they had intense chemistry. You know, I always thought he was just the one for her. He offered her something that Big just couldn't do. And at another time, even at the after show, I can go over, like, all of my thoughts on Big, who I loved, right? And even how I think even Big settled for Carrie. But Aiden was just everything she needed. Like, that was real pure love from the beginning through the middle of their second, you know, get back together, and even to now. So I'm excited to see where this is going to take us. And, you know, we're going to go on another quick break before we close everything out. And when I come back, I'm going to give you guys all of the fashion. We finally reached that part of the show, as well as answer your questions on Twitter. So hang tight for me because we'll be right back. All right, we are back and just in time for the fashion portion, which is one of my favorite portions of the show. And let's get started. So, any other time I would have liked this jacket, but I don't know how I was feeling it on Aiden. So, this Edward Scissorhands inspired look is actually from Bellstaff, and it is a Trailmaster motorcycle jacket. And it retails for $825, and you can get it directly off the website, which is Bellstaff. So, I mean, it is a really good looking jacket. I've actually designed a jacket very similar to this, but yeah, if you guys are definitely interested, check it out. And then, you know, I do have to say Stella McCartney has been getting a lot of play in this season's and just like that, because that nice green tote bag that Miranda was sporting with her purple outfit, that is a Stella McCartney chunky chain detail tote bag. And it retails for $1,830. And so, not exactly sure if it's still on the website, but you can definitely get it at places like The RealReal and Farfetch and Fashion File. So definitely give that one a look. It is actually a very nice bag. And if you really look at the details of it, it's two-toned. So it's like the chain, I mean. Part of the chain is gold and the other part is like sterling silver, I believe. So it's really good looking and it's like a moon-shaped tote bag. So that's that. And then we have a few pieces actually that you can find on Nordstrom. So let's go into our first Nordstrom piece. For those of you who have a Nordstrom card and you want to put it to good use, the dress, it's like a cardigan dress that Dr. Naya was wearing when she was at the bookstore, is actually in her house, I'm sorry, is the Starred Shoko Long Line Cardigan, which retails for $295, but it is on sale at Nordstrom now for $236. And it's actually an amazing dress. It like starts off orange and it goes through all of those hues and tones. It hits green and it finishes off with blue. Very, 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 very nice. And let me see, I had another piece from Dr. Naya Wallace. Oops, I lied. I actually didn't. But let's get into some of Charlotte's pieces. So if you did like her little cardigan in true Charlotte form when she was watching the Drew Barrymore segment, that is an Alice plus Olivia embellished wool blend cardigan that retails for $495. I believe this brand is also carried by Nordstrom, and you can actually find it there, or you can on the Alice and Olivia website, or you can look at the Outnet. So, and it's very, very cute when you see it up close as well. And then we have Charlotte's handmade tail looking dress. this blue dress, it's called the Oakley dress. And believe it or not, it retails at $1,703. And it is by this designer called Amelia Wickstead. So, if you want to look like one of the wives from The Handmaid's Tale, but you want to do so in fashion style and grace, definitely pick up this dress. It actually looked really nice on Charlotte, especially paired with her scarf. I really did actually enjoy that one. And so moving on to LTW. So, and I actually did design a piece just like this, except this in blue, and it's a dress. It's actually called the Blasina dress. She was wearing this jumpsuit for her B-Day outfit, and it is by Roland Moret. So that's Roland, or Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D, Moret. And it is the asymmetric wool crepe jumpsuit retailing at $1,100. I do love this jumpsuit. I mean, it was amazing. Or maybe I just think LTW is amazing in everything that she does. You know, I'm biased there. And then the infamous purse that Baxter had no business having her hands on is Valentino. Once again, Valentino is really hitting it hard in this series. It is the Valentino Garavani one stud leather crossbody bag, which retails for $3,550. But online, I found that Farfetch has it for $2,155. So if you guys are ever interested in that bag, definitely pick that up there. And speaking of bags, if you guys want to know what bag Seema was wearing, which was amazingly cute, it is actually Fendi, but you won't believe it if I told you the price. So let me just tell it to you. It is a white fox fur bag for $4,600. It is fur, so, and if you're, you know, not PETA and you're not fur is murder, you might definitely really like this bag. It actually is really, really, really cute. It actually has a big F and it's like tilted sideways. And then it has the fur coming out, which I didn't really notice until I'm, you know, making this really big, deep look into it as I give you guys the price. It's actually very cute. And so I do want to add another piece of Dr. Naya Wallace's, which I loved. She had on this coat at the bookstore, and it was a Canada Goose, which I love, times Reformation Mystique Park. Park is just a fancy way to say it. And so this retails on reformation.com for $1,595. As you can imagine, anything Canadian Goose or Canada Goose is going to be amazing. They have like the best coats. So moving on, I do want to get into the other piece that I loved, which is Miranda's, which she actually wore with that bag I told you about. Her purple dress is called the Celeste Gown. Now this one, guys, is extremely affordable in the pockets. Or maybe I think it's affordable because I'm expensive. But it retails for $645. And it's actually on sale at Halston for $322.50. Now Halston, shout out to Halston, because a lot of pieces from Halston has definitely been making appearances in this show. And I love to see it. Like, I love to see old designers mixed with new designers, mixed with like old fashioned powerhouse designers. I love that. Like, if you can incorporate all of that into outfits and into a whole series, like, you're winning in the fashion game. Now, before we go, I saved the best for last. Harry's date dress. I mean, you guys know I'm a fashion designer. I always wanted to be on Project Runway until I found out it was, like, I don't know, a little sketchy, supposedly, allegedly. But Christian Siriano, one of like the best designers other than Daniel to come on this show, Christian Siriano made this dress. It is the Victorian blue floral puff shoulder tee length dress. I know you guys don't want me to repeat that again, so please go on his website. I actually, on revirginize.pod on our Instagram, I actually detailed this dress, and I think I put in the direct link of where to buy it on his website, or I just linked his website. But this is Christian Siriano. We love him. You guys hear me snapping? Snaps, snaps, claps. This dress is $1,695, which to me is also affordable, especially for a Christian Siriano dress. Now, I know that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, that's really affordable because they're used to like $5,000 Gucci dresses. I'm one of those. And then there's a lot of people who are probably like, no, that's really expensive. But I really do think Christian Siriano is affordable on the pockets, especially to be this powerhouse of a designer, which I don't even think he realizes he is. And I'm going to give you your flowers, Christian. But he is such an amazing designer who I've followed for years. And I don't think he gets all of the credit he does deserve. And I don't think people realize what an amazing talented designer that he is. So this piece is definitely a steal. If you love this outfit, definitely get it. I mean, what's $1,700? Come on, money comes and goes. And so last we have the heels that she was wearing, which is the flower strass buckle all over strass pumps in satin, and it is from Roger Vivier, and it retails at $3,895. Now, I will say, now that I think is expensive, right? Like, maybe I'm the wrong person because I love shoes. I love heels. I'm more of a bag and SLG person. I would spend that amount of money on a bag. I don't know if I'd spend that amount of money on some shoes. I don't know. I don't know. But anyways, if you guys want to get the look, there's the look. If you really enjoy me finding these things for you guys, I can definitely post it on our Soraya's. I can post it on our Instagram. If you guys are still with me on Twitter, I can post it there. And speaking of Twitter, I have two questions from our favorite person at Heather Star. And her questions for today was, oh my God, oh my God, I love me some Aiden, and I have to ask, was he wrong for holding his stand on not walking into that apartment? No, he was not. As I told you guys before, there was nothing wrong with this. I mean, I think the only thing wrong, if I am going to be honest, is the fact that Aiden always conforms to Carrie in so many ways. He had every right to not go back there. He wasn't being an ass. It was very traumatic for him, and I don't think any of us have ever paid attention to that before, ever. But, you know, I do think that he will end up there. I think he does conform to Carrie, so you might end up there. But no, Aiden, you had every right. Like, our heart broke for you. I think he was right. And she actually did have another question, which was, I'm with the whole culture, truly I am, but what's up with teenagers having sex and parents being okay with it? I don't know how I feel about it. What do you think? Well, in true stereotypical Latino form, that was just something we didn't do, which I told you guys before. I'm all about people wanting to be sex positive. I do think there's a bunch of emotions that, you know, comes with sex, which is why I feel like, you know, when you're a teenager, you shouldn't be having sex, right? Like, because you don't know all of the, you know, emotional aspects that come with it, I think you should wait until you're just a little older, you know, 18, 17, you know, when you're just a little older to understand everything that comes with it. A lot of times what you find out, especially me being a school teacher, you know, I see it all the time in middle schools and high schools, like, you know, they're just way too young to really know what's going on and what it entails and all the emotional parts of it. I mean, shout out to them for being sex positive, because kids are going to do it anyway. And shout out to them for, yes, acknowledging they're going to have sex, but still trying to create boundaries. So I do agree with that part, right? Because their kids are going to do it anyway. But I think they handled it well. I guess that's all I can say about that. You know, everybody's different. Oh, God, I'm going to have to deal with this when I have kids. But I think they're handling it pretty, pretty well. So that's all I can say on that. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another week of another wonderful episode. It was my absolute favorite. I'm excited to see what happens. I do think, prediction, that Aiden and Carrie are going to end up subletting Che's apartment. But as always, tell me your predictions on our Twitter at Revirginized and on our thread, Revirginized.pod, our Instagram, Revirginized.pod. And I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week.